Welcome to the Fast Cars, Fast Girls podcast with Abby and Molly.
Well, it is going down for real.
It's going down for real.
Oh, boy.
It's been a good week.
It's Thursday. We're doing a little late here because we had a real fun interview that we cannot wait to share with you guys.
We did indeed, with one of our fans from the very beginning. Juliana Myers, so you guys will get to hear our conversation with her. She's got some great stories. She raced a little bit herself.
So it's a pretty awesome interview, so that's coming up. But let's continue warming up the tires.
Let's continue warming up the tires. So we've got a few updates for the silly season.
Just a few.
Not too many. It's kind of slowed down on the news front, but we got a few. Then we're going to get into some female racers. Shit we didn't make up.
Shit we didn't make up. And of course, the interview we talked about.
The interview with Juliana. So.
All right. Well, let's just jump right on into the silly season.
So Charlie Kimball says he's 90% confident that he is going to have a full-time ride next season.
Which probably means Carlin Racing.
Okay.
That's what everybody keeps talking about with Charlie. The assumption is Carlin Racing has an operation. If it's a two car, that's where Charlie's going to be.
Okay.
With Chilton being in the other. Although Mac's been, like, dead silent on everything.
I mean, he might have to be.
That's
until
true.
Things are buttoned up.
That's true. So, we'll see. So, we're still waiting on Charlie.
Waiting on Charlie Kimball. Connor still doesn't have a ride, and I don't know how Charlie Kimball is 90% sure and Connor still doesn't have a ride.
I'm a little upset about this still.
Ugh. Yeah.
I'm cranky.
Oh, I'm cranky about it.
Dear Santa, what the heck?
Yeah.
I will stop asking for a pony.
Right? Get Connor a red. Jack Harvey.
So, you talked about this a while back, how, you know, he's got the package for, how many races?
Six, I think.
Six or seven. So, he gave some more detail about that package. He specified it's going to be the Honda-based ride.
Okay.
So, the current open seat for Honda is Coyne, but that's a full-time ride, we all think.
Mm-hmm.
So then the other thought was it could be Michael Shank Racing, which paired with Andretti for last year's 500 that he ran.
Gotcha.
This puts, like, if you're doing the engine count, this is putting Honda way up in engines.
It is.
And I think at some point you reach that tipping point, you're like, too many.
Yeah. Although, I don't know how much the engine is really going to come into play this season since they all have the same chassis.
I think it's more of a, just the money it takes for the
team.
Not the teams, but the manufacturers.
Yeah.
So that's interesting. He also indicated he wants it done by Christmas. So, I mean, I would have liked everything wrapped up by Christmas so my parents could just buy me stuff for race car drivers. But they cannot now.
No, they cannot.
They cannot.
Indy silly season, you have fucked us once again.
Damn it! I just want some good apparel.
Right?
I mean,
at Black Friday prices.
Thank you.
That's all I'm asking for.
I think that's what's happening. Well, this is coming out Friday, so tomorrow.
Yeah, on Saturday.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, but we're buying that for ourselves.
Yeah, let's be clear.
We're going to go shopping at the track because they've got an apparel event. So.
Yeah. We will be tailgating beforehand.
We will be tailgating beforehand because there's no place in Speedway to have both breakfast food and alcohol at the same time. And it's a tragedy.
It is.
And so to get around that, I'm going to make us some egg sandwiches. And
we're just going to make Bloody Marys.
In Molly's car. And we're going to tailgate in the parking lot before we go in to buy clothes.
Sit on the trunk and wait for them to open up.
Yeah. So.
If you're there, you're welcome to join us.
Yes. Feel free to come tailgate with us. It'll be a good time. I also can't handle shopping around that many people unless I've got a little bit of a buzz on.
I think you and I both are the same.
Yeah.
I was like, there's going to be a lot of people.
A lot of people. And I'll tell you what, I learned this. My grandma lived in St. Paul, Minnesota. And she was about 20 minutes away from the Mall of America. So every year on Christmas, once we got to a certain age, Grandma quit getting us things and she just gave us money. And so we would go shopping the day after Christmas, get a bunch of stuff on sale, spend, you know, get exactly what we wanted, get more stuff because it was after Christmas, everything was on sale.
Yeah.
And the Mall of America has a bunch of stores that we don't have here. So there were like some specialty stores and places, you know, that was like we would look forward to going there every year. And if the weather was shit, I mean, we went every year, regardless. Right. If the weather was shit, it was awesome because there just weren't that many people there.
True.
But there were a few years where all of a sudden December 26th rolls around and it's like in the mid 40s and the sun is out. And that place was wall to wall people.
Oh my God.
I mean, it was absolute insanity. And so we started a tradition of as soon as we got to the mall, we'd go to the Rainforest Cafe because we liked their Bloody Marys the best.
Nice.
And we'd order like a couple appetizers to share and we'd get big ass Bloody Marys. And they always serve their Bloodies with a beer back and kettle cooked potato chips on top.
Ooh.
Which are delicious to dip in your Bloody Mary or just eat while you're...
Nice.
Yeah. So, so I'd get a sweet little buzz on and then I'd go shop and I wouldn't feel quite as stabby.
Yeah, you know, that's about, I have been thinking this all week, like, oh boy.
I just really hate people.
I do not Black Friday shop.
No.
I do Small Business Saturday, but it's a lot more manageable because it's smaller shops and it's spread out up and down. Like for Indy, I do Mass Ave.
Yeah.
Like it's spread out. So you're not like in one shop with 80 people. And at that point I'm starting to think like it could go down.
Right. If there's a fire, I'm going to get trampled. I'm definitely going to die. We're not all making it out.
Nobody's making it out.
Nobody's going to follow the rules.
Gonna die. Like it's it. This is how I die right here. Yeah. That's where my mind goes. It's fine. I've accepted it.
No, I hear you. Me, I'm just like, why do these people keep bumping into me? Like, don't tell me that, okay, I'm not a size 2. I'm aware of how big my ass is, okay? So don't tell me that you're not aware of how big your own ass is and you just keep bumping into me. Like, we are in a confined space. Please respect my bubble.
Please
respect my bubble.
I don't feel like the bubbles are going to be respected.
And for the love of God, if you are anywhere that's crowded... This is just PSA. Not even for shopping, but for everywhere. If you're anywhere with a crowd of people and you feel the need to use your phone while walking, you either better know exactly where the keys are so that you don't have to look down or step the fuck out of the way.
Thank you.
Because if you run into me and you're on your phone, I will smack your phone to the ground.
Oh, man. I just broke my screen. RIP. It's not fun.
I mean...
But I'm the same way.
Smack it right out.
Smack it.
Right? Open your goddamn eyes.
So, yes... No Christmas stuff for my parents for the racing, and I know they're kind of upset about that, I'm sure, because apparently I'm the hard child to buy for.
I'm not. I send my mom exactly what I want. I give her access to my wish list on Amazon. I send her links of things.
Okay.
Would you rather buy me this or this for Christmas?
Here are the two.
Let me know, because then I'll buy the other one for myself.
We're waiting. Although, we did have a real announcement today.
We did.
You want to pronounce it? Because I always pronounce it wrong.
All right. So AJ Foyt announced that Matthias Laist is going to be driving. So they are going to be Team Brazil.
Team Brazil.
So.
Viva? Is that Brazilian?
Yeah.
Okay. Viva.
Viva Brazil.
Viva Brazil.
So we've got Team Brazil, Team BFF.
Yep. Team Canada.
Team Canada.
But I really am going to start calling it Team BFF.
It is Team BFF and for sure.
I guess we can address it here. James is really feeling the off-season beard.
Oh, he is very much feeling the off-season beard.
It took a minute. I was like, no, it's just the shadow. And I was like, oh.
No, he's like mountain manning it. I mean, he looks like, you know.
Canadian.
He looks Canadian for the wintertime. I mean, the colder it is where you live.
His chin is hibernating.
Yeah, it's like, his chin is hibernating. But you got to keep that face warm, okay? Yeah. Canadian winters, they're no bullshit. I mean, in Minnesota, when we used to visit Grandma, Uncle Leo always had a beard because he ran outside and he didn't want to get super cold.
No, that's true.
Excuse me. So he always would grow out his beard in the wintertime.
So part of Team BFF has a very big bushy beard right now.
Yes.
So that happened.
Yeah, that'll come off before summer because that'll be way too hot.
I'm surprised it's not already irritating with that. Helmet on.
Yeah.
I don't know these things, not having had a beard.
Right? Yeah. I mean, never had it. Yeah.
Let us know. I can reach out to my brother, I guess.
It's true. I guess it would depend on like how close he,
I don't know.
He trims it.
Anyway, so we had that in us with Foyt. We're still waiting on Mexico.
Which I would say is getting less and less likely by the day.
Apparently also part of it is that, and I don't know if this is an official requirement, but the rumblings has been they want to have a Mexican driver, at least in that race, if not like part of the IndyCar, I don't know another word to use, but stable O drivers.
Hmm.
And I don't know if this is, I've not seen anything official. This is just people talking about it, which I don't know how I feel about like a track saying, you can have something here, but you must have X as a driver. Like, that's not how you should have a driver. Like, you should have a driver because they're a good driver.
Yeah.
But not because they're, well, you know, this is a Mexico track. You have to have a Mexican driver.
Yeah. It's interesting.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
I have an issue with it, I think.
Well, yeah. Because it's not like it's geared towards Mexican drivers not having a chance. Like, if it was something where, like, you know, the Indy Racing League, IndyCar was against, you know, Mexican drivers had some sort of prejudice and, like, right, things were stacked up against them. This was like an affirmative action kind of thing. Like, sure, I'd be on board.
Sure.
But we have drivers from all over the place.
Right.
So,
yeah, it's weird. I don't know.
It's interesting.
And it might not even be official. This is just rumor.
Yeah.
Gossip and innuendo. So it is what it is. Apparently, Nashville at some point was a thing, but it's really not a thing.
Hmm.
I don't even remember that it was a thing.
I don't either.
I just know that all of a sudden it was like, here's the release, Nashville isn't happening. And I was like,
Nashville was happening?
I would have gotten on board with Nashville. Nashville's not a bad drive.
It's not a bad drive. 6 hours from here?
We could have made it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Easily.
So that's what's going on right now. Still waiting on Edge Road Buddy, which the other day, Chick Hellicker said that he could be his road buddy if necessary.
I mean, I think your dad would do quite well.
So there you go, Ed. He is 70? Maybe? Almost. Sorry, Dad. But, you know, he's pretty good in the car.
Yeah.
He will be driving us.
He's aggressive.
He's an aggressive driver. He'll be trying the road course here in about a week.
So yep, when we do Liquor and Lights.
We'll see if he can set a new track record and beat Teresa's.
We shall see.
We shall see.
So that'll be a good time. I bet he does beat Teresa's.
I don't know. She had a pretty awesome peel out. It was pretty good. And then, so we're waiting on Ed's road buddy and the coin seat.
And the jail coin seat, so.
Still waiting,
which,
guys.
No movement or even any innuendo on any
not
of that.
Really. And I feel like the testing embargo is lifted in January, so they need to start filling.
Yeah, they need to
start putting butts in seats.
Yeah, they do. They need to get their shit together.
I feel like Ed knows and he's just waiting.
Yeah, he probably already does know.
Come on, Ed.
You're breaking our hearts here.
Come on.
Come on now.
So.
All right. Well, speaking of announcements, if you ever miss any of, well, you know, just silly season announcements, but if you ever miss any of our podcasts and you want to see what's going on in our lives and maybe you don't have an hour to catch up, you can check us out on social media.
Sorry, I had no idea where you were going.
Molly made the strangest face.
I was like,
what do I do every week when I make some random segue?
Well, I thought you were going into the next one, and I was like, well, that's
you were like,
not
son of a bitch, that's not the order we were going to do that in. All right. So follow us on social media. We're on Instagram at Fast Cars Fast Girls. We are on Twitter, Fast Cars and 317, and that's IN. You can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/Fast Cars Fast Girls, or you can simply search Fast Cars Fast Girls in the search bar and find our page. We are on TuneIn, Blurbery, iTunes Podcast, Google Play,
Stitcher.
And Podbean.
Yes.
So if you go to www.fastcarsfastgirls.com, that will take you to Podbean, and you can download straight from there, or you can use any one of those other lovely podcast hosting sites that we listed. Please subscribe. Please rate us. Please share our episodes, any memes or funny pictures or statuses that we have on any social media. Please share it. We want to get the word out there. Yeah. We want to bring some more IndyCar fans together.
And stay tuned for our social media. I would especially watch Twitter and Snapchat in the week when we go to the Liquor and Lights. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yes, and our Snapchat is FastCarsFSTGRLS.
It happens.
Because all the letters wouldn't fit, so I apologize. But yes, we are going to be Snapchatting and Twitter Living next Wednesday, the Wednesday before Thanksgiving.
Yes. Oh, which... we might also do it Saturday, too.
Oh, yeah. What are you doing on Saturday? That's right. I thought you meant the Saturday after Thanksgiving.
I'm sorry. I was not as clear.
I was like, what are you doing that Saturday? I was like, I'm working. What are you doing? What fun Saturday. Are you having without me?
Small business Saturday.
No. Yeah, we will. We will do some snaps and things this Saturday when we go shopping at the track. So
you can watch the evidence mount up for our murder trial. It's fine.
It's fine. Yeah.
It's fine. But also do keep an eye on it Wednesday evening. It'll be fun. We're going to do some food. We're going to go wait in line. So you're going to see not only us, but our parents.
Our parents.
So and you're us. Welcome.
Yep. And you'll see why we are the way we are.
Yeah. I think you'll go, yeah.
I get it now.
Yeah.
I get it now.
Yeah. So please follow us.
Yep. Make sure you rate us, please.
And rate us and share us. And download everything.
Sharing is caring.
Sharing is caring.
Sharing is caring. And we're coming into the Christmas season, so.
What better gift to your loved ones than to log on to their phone, go to their podcasting app, if it's an iPhone, iTunes, the Google Play, and subscribe to us and set it for automatic download.
I mean, they always say, you know, that your health is the most important thing. True. And another thing that people say all the time is that laughter is the best medicine. So this year, if you're low on money, give your family the gift of good health by giving them the gift of laughter with our podcast.
It's pretty fun.
Christmas done. You spent zero money. You made your family live longer. Mm-hmm. You're welcome.
Yes, you are.
Yeah. So.
There you go.
Just saying. Just putting it out there. You know what? We spend too much money on shit that people throw away after Christmas. I've seen a lot of articles about, you know, trying to be more green. Yeah. At Christmas time and not buying a bunch of crap that's going to end up in a landfill 3 weeks later. You know, maybe doing something more homemade or something more heartfelt and not just buying random trinkets and gadgets that nobody really has any use for.
Yeah.
So this year, don't do that.
No, don't.
Don't do that.
No.
Take your family's phones, download our podcast, let them listen to it. You can have conversations about it. Mm-hmm. You can then watch Racist together. You're going to build memories. This is a gift that will keep on giving.
Yes.
So.
I love it.
Yeah. So, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
And Happy Hanukkah. Do it to your Jewish friends and family, too.
And
It's not just for Christians. It's for everybody. In fact, I would say...
Well...
I would say maybe anybody that's highly religious probably wouldn't appreciate...
There are certain...
Yeah. Of any faith, that anybody that is highly religious, probably we're going to be a little too blue for them. But, you know, if you don't particularly care for those family members, then definitely download it.
Do it anyway. Just they don't even need to know. It just helps us. It's fine.
Yeah.
It's fine. It's cool.
So.
But let's talk a little bit about a very exciting thing that happened for female racers this week.
Mm.
So.
We've
been talking about the four sisters. You know, the racers who are better than Graham Rahal.
Yes. The fast one.
The fast one in the family. So, Courtney, of course, was competing, but her sister, Brittany Force.
Mm-hmm.
This past weekend at the Auto Club NHRA Finals, she won the Top Fuel.
Wow.
She's Top Fuel champion. Second time a woman has ever done it. And that first time was 35 years ago by Shirley Muldooney.
Wow.
I will also add that in kind of looking through everything, there are a lot of women in NHRA.
That's awesome.
I was like, that's a female name. And that, I mean, I might be gender assuming, but...
Yeah. Do seem to be more females. I mean, when we have looked up, you know, little tidbits and things, there definitely seems to be better representation of females in that type of racing.
So it was very exciting.
That is very exciting.
And
that's
also exciting for her. And I think we retweeted, like, her dad when it happened. It was a very sweet moment.
Aw. Well, I'm sure the whole family was just giddy since
they're all into
racing. I mean, they just live, breathe. Yeah.
Yes. So.
Everything fast.
Way to go, Brittany. Another real plus for women racers.
Yeah.
And watch this segue. Speaking of women racers, we had a very great interview just today with Juliana Myers, who's been listening to us since the beginning. We've done some discussions with her, some little Twitters back and forth.
She and I have traded back pictures of Joseph Newgarden.
So they're instantly BFFs. It's fine. It's fine. Whatever.
Nobody could ever replace you.
Thank you. That's what I needed to hear.
Yeah. No, you could never be replaced.
Well, that is true.
If you ever died, I'd be completely inconsolable.
You complete me. Wow, we went
old school
for that one.
We saw that movie together.
We did.
Yeah.
That's how old we are.
In junior high. Over the summer. I think the same week that I got in trouble from your parents for hitchhiking. That my parents never knew about until my mom listens to this. So in about 6 months, she'll yell at me.
So anyway, Juliana was very... nice enough to come on our podcast, and we talked everything from her great memories with the 500 and how she was karting and stories, and so enjoy.
Please enjoy.
for everybody listening at home, this is Juliana Myers. She's one of our fans from the very beginning, and so she's got some hilarious stories that we wanted to catch and put on air. So let's just get right into it. Let's talk about Daria Franchitti almost killing you.
Yeah, cool. So I had never been to the Indy 500 before. I've been to a few IndyCar races with my dad. Mm-hmm. And so we go to the Indy 500, and I mean, this is like the end of this crazy weekend of us just breaking all the rules at the Indy 500. we get there.
Because there are no rules except one, no glass bottles.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah.
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 Right? Like, you're like, I mean, if we got to draw the line somewhere.
Yeah.
That seems reasonable.
Yeah.
So me and my dad fly in the day before the race. And, I mean, we do the whole thing where you fly in and we see the track and we're all in awe. It was crazy, right? We're so excited. We get to the track and there was some kind of concert happening in the snake pit the day before.
Oh, yeah, Legends Day.
That happens.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it looked like a complete shit show. and we weren't trying to go to the concert. We just wanted to see the track because we just flew for like 6 or 7 hours to get to Indy.
Mm-hmm.
And we get there, we pay to park, it's a whole thing. We get to the gate and they're like, oh, we're not letting anybody in unless you have a concert ticket. And no. And they're like, and you can only go into the snake pit, you can't go into the track.
Oh.
And yeah, and my dad's like, okay, sure. And he's like, we're not leaving. We are just gonna walk around until we find a gate that's open. And we're going to sneak through it. I'm like, cool. Sounds good.
And you're like, I'm in. Let's do this.
Yeah. So we walk around the side of the track. I think we're like, it's so big. Of course it's big. I knew it was big. But
you really, you can't comprehend it till you're there.
Yeah.
Right. It was wild. And what I can tell you what I did not know, because, you know, on the broadcast, they keep it zoomed into the track and they'll zoom out a little bit and then zoom back in. They do not show the shit show that's happening like 500 feet right outside of that picture frame. And so we're walking, and I mean just passed out people.
Oh, yeah.
Screaming wild. It was crazy. I don't know what I thought, but it was not that. And it's just funny, like if they zoomed out just a little bit, you would see just passed out people.
The biggest white trash bash of the year.
Oh, yeah. It was wild. And I just, you know, I think like,
turkey legs just thrown on the ground.
It was wild. I just, you know, you think of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, and I thought, like, the gem of motorsports, like, this big cathedral, like, holy thing in my mind.
It's such a dichotomy.
Outside of the track, people are just wasted.
Right? And there's such a dichotomy because it's like all this history and tradition and pageantry, and it seems like it's this regal, majestic event, and then it's like 2 feet over.
A shit show.
There's a 17-year-old blackout drunk with no shoes on. And you're like, and nobody seems concerned.
Right, yeah. And it was hilarious. I mean, like, it was great. I wasn't, like, offended. I thought it was hilarious. Because if I lived there, I would definitely be that passed out person. Like, that would be me.
Yeah.
So we walk around the side of the track. We're walking and we find a gate. And there's, like, maybe, like, a 2-foot gap. And there's, like, a person guarding the gate, right? And we just wait until the person looks the other way, and we just slip through the gate.
Oh, my God. Nice. Nice.
Yeah. I mean, and that's just what we do. My dad's motto was, if you look like you belong, nobody's going to ask you any differently.
True story. My dad had the same motto.
Yeah. And yeah. You can walk straight into anywhere if you just walk with confidence.
Mm-hmm.
And don't act like you're doing something you shouldn't be doing.
That's how my sister started buying alcohol at liquor stores at, like, 14.
Oh, my God.
Oh, that makes sense.
I mean, she did look older, but, yeah, she just in and out with confidence.
Right. Just walk right up to the counter like you belong there.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, I'm kind of a baby. Like, that would be scary for me.
It's okay. I'm the same way.
Like, I'm a little bit of a rule follower, so.
I get it. It's fine. Yeah. It's fine.
Right. The only times I really don't care about rules are at IndyCar races because I just, you know, I'm just going to do what I'm going to do and hopefully not get run over by Daria Franchitti, but, so we get in the track and I cried. It was a whole thing. And it was just such a big deal for me to finally be there. I mean, my first memories of life are being 5 years old, sitting on the floor, watching Sarah Fisher race at the Indy 500. That's like my first memory. And me and my dad watched the Indy 500 together every year. Even if we were at the racetrack, we would bring a little portable TV and have it on, because a lot of the times during Memorial Day weekends, we would have like double race weekends where mm-hmm. we would race all weekend. So we would have it on the TV, and so it was just always a big deal. And so we sneak into Victory Lane, take pictures there.
Naturally.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. There's like a gate, and we just opened the gate and just went in. And there was like a security guard watching us, and he was just like, just let them do what they're going to do. So I have like pictures in Victory Lane. And so then we go up to the like VIP suites, and they're setting them up for tomorrow. You know, tomorrow's a big race. And we're just walking around, and nobody's asking us what we're doing. So we're like, okay. And we walk by one door, and it says David Letterman VIP.
Nice.
And we're like, oh, dude, we gotta go in there. So we go in, and there's nobody in there. And my dad's like, look, we need to find passes into the pits. And if they're gonna be anywhere, they're gonna be in here.
I love your dad.
It's so smart, dude. I mean, and we were just trying to get as close as we could, you know, like. We don't get to go often, and we've been waiting years to do it, so we're like, we're just going to do everything we possibly can.
Yeah.
And this one trip. So I'm going through these drawers, and at one point I open the drawers, and there's at least like a $40,000 camera sitting there. And I'm like, I don't even want the camera, I just want passes.
Right.
And oops, sorry. Are you still there?
Yeah, still here.
Yeah. And finally I open a drawer, and there's lanyards in there. And they're like the Ray Hall, Letterman, Lanigan team lanyards. Like, these will come in handy. So I took like four of them.
Takes them from you, you want to have backups. I completely understand that.
Yeah. And I'm sure they're just handing them out to whoever's up there, you know, like family and sponsors and whoever. And my dad makes a joke. There was a huge Borg Warner photo, and it was like signed by all the Ray Halls. And my dad like took it off the wall. And he's like, "Let's go!" And I was like, "Dad, like, come on, dude, like, you can't take that." So we left that, and so that was pretty much like day one. And then the next day we get there, and I mean, it was like at 5 a.m. And we were both not asleep. And he was like, "Want to go to the Indy 500?" And I was like, "Hell yes, I want to go to the Indy 500."
Right.
So. We go, we park in somebody's front yard, pay like $40 to park there.
Yep.
Yeah, and like those are just things you wouldn't expect, you know, like you don't see that on TV.
Yeah.
And
it's true, you don't see all the cars in yards and kids selling lemonade and
And people selling like $5 to use this porta potty. It's smart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how Speedway makes its
money during that time, you know.
Oh yeah.
So we get into the track, and it's super early. It's like 8 a.m, 9 a.m. And we're just walking around, and we see like there's like a gate and somebody there, and then there's like the haulers, and then there's another gate, and then there's Gasoline Alley.
Oh my gosh.
And we're like, yeah, we got to get in there. So we take our lanyards off that we bought. They were like the Indy 500 lanyards. We put the Ray Hall Letterman Lanigan ones on.
Smart.
And we wait until one of the guards is looking the wrong way, like the yellow jackets.
Yep.
Looking the other way, walk past, we're in the haulers.
So we're God.
Like, okay. And the garages are open, so it's like you could walk through the garage into Gasoline Alley, but there's like Indy cars and like people working on Indy cars in the garages. And we're like, we don't have the balls to just walk like straight through Joseph Newgarden's garage.
Yeah.
Like with his car, and like that was too much. So we waited until it was Willpower. It was Willpower's like pit crew.
Yeah.
And they were walking in a group of like 10, and we just snuck in the middle and started talking to them and walked right into Gasoline Alley.
That's awesome.
Great.
It was so cool. And so then we're in Gasoline Alley, and I'm like, Dad, I see it every year. They close off like the side parts of Gasoline Alley. And all the drivers, like, parade out onto the track. They walk, and the cameras follow them. I'm like, if we stay here long enough, they're going to block that out, and then we can go onto the track. Like, we will end up on pit lane. So we're like, we are not leaving Gasoline Alley. We are here. And so we're there probably for, like, 3 or 4 hours. I took a picture with Joseph Newgarden right before the race. I went to the bathroom, and I came out of the stall, and there were just, like, there was some female driver in there, and it was really cool. I don't remember who it was, But it was really cool. I was like washing my hands next turn. I was like, oh my God, like I do not belong here. and so then sure enough, they section off that area and everybody's just falling onto the track. So we just get funneled in onto the track. And I mean, before you know it, it's 30 minutes before the race and me and my dad are just, and the cars are out and they're testing them. And it was so freaking cool. It's like the best moment of my life. And they do the hero parade or the legends parade.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so Dario Franchitti was in the Lotus special with the Ari Leindijk goggles and the fake hair.
Yeah.
And I hear all these whistles, like trying to get somebody to move. I'm like, what idiot isn't moving? I turn around and I meet Dario Franchitti just coming out of that Lotus special. And my dad grabbed me. I mean, I almost got hit by Dario Franchitti, like a couple feet. And I just like looked at my dad and I just started crying. He's like, what's wrong with something? And I was like, no, I almost got hit by Dario Franchitti. Like, oh my God. Like, total fangirl. Yeah, and I mean, we were on the track for driver introductions and like drivers to your cars, and it was the coolest.
You were part of the pre-race pageant.
Yeah, that's what just happened.
Yeah, I mean, there's nobody there that isn't family members or sponsors or a crew or, you know, like I'm looking around and I see like Emma Dixon and like all the, you know, and I'm just like, I do not belong here, but here I am. And it was just, yeah, it was so cool. We pretty much, we did everything short of getting a ride along on the track. Like,
that's fantastic.
With a general admission pass. So
that's amazing.
Just know you can get away with it if you just act like you belong.
I mean, I've been telling Molly this for years, so it's nice to have another vote on my side.
Oh, boy.
I'm telling you, if I come this year, we should just do it. Just try and do it again, because unless they're listening now, unless anybody in charge is listening now,
anybody in charge who might be loves us,
so it's fine. It's cool. It's okay, cool.
Yeah, we've got a few connections.
Oh, cool. Yeah, all you need is some connections and just like a little luck too.
Yeah.
Sounds perfect.
Yeah, I think you do it. That's hysterical.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. It was crazy, and we just kept posting on Facebook these pictures, and my mom kept commenting on them, and she's like, please don't get arrested in a knee, like, please don't get arrested. I'm like, what are they going to do? They're just going to throw us out of where we're at. They won't even throw us out of the track, like, they're too busy. Like, they'll just kick us out of Gasly now, it's the worst that happens.
So if you do come this year, obviously you'll come over to my mom's house. For the whole weekend and party with us all weekend long. And so yes. The shit show that happens just outside the track that you spoke of is Georgetown Road. And that's on Saturday night. And my dad was an Indianapolis police officer for 40 years. And so every year we have a tradition. We all hang out and drink and play cornhole and whatever on Saturday night. And then we as a family go and walk Georgetown to laugh our asses off at everybody else.
Yes, and like the most fun.
It really is. And so my dad would give the same speech every year about the only ways that you can possibly get arrested in Indianapolis that weekend. And so whenever we get ready to go, he's like, all right, folks, I'm going to tell you something. There's only three ways you can get arrested at the Indy. Mm-hmm. He's like, number one, get into a fight in front of a cop.
Yeah.
Number two, use illicit drugs in front of a cop. He's like, he goes, I'm talking shoot up heroin, snort cocaine, smoke crack, use illicit hard drugs in front of a cop.
Yep.
He goes, number three, and this one's the most important, act like such a complete fucking dumbass that the cop doesn't mind the paperwork. He goes, if you do any of those three things, you don't know me. Don't tell them that your Uncle Joe's a cop. Don't have them call me, because I'll tell them I've never fucking heard of you before in my life. You're my wife's family.
Yeah, that sounds fair to me.
Yeah.
So
sort of like stealing an Indy car, I think.
Yeah, they're just gonna be like, please leave the area. Not even the track, just please leave the area.
Right? Like,
I'm sure they have so much to deal with. I'm sure it's ridiculous for that whole month. I'm sure it's ridiculous.
Yeah. It's insane.
Yeah, my dad hated the Indy 500 for years and years because he had to work it so long. Like, it was probably 15 years of him not working the Indy 500 before he actually went to a race.
Yeah, he was like triggered. He was like,
he had like PTSD about it.
Right.
Yeah.
Just self-soothing.
I mean, they used to, I mean, cops used to not even go in the snake pit. Like, they would just stay on the outside.
Yeah, they still.
I mean, one year, a guy, two officers went in the snake pit to break up a fight. They were, the officers were returned by the snake pit crowd to the other police after about 3 hours, and they were wearing only their underwear.
Oh my gosh.
Their weapons were gone, their uniforms, their shoes, their radios. The only things they had were their underwear.
Oh man.
The snake pit stripped them of everything, especially their pride and their dignity.
Not surprising. No, truly.
No. So, but yeah.
Wow.
I don't think I would survive the snake pit. I mean, I'm only, like, I'm 24, but, God, I'm, like, hungover for days now, so, like, I can't imagine in the sun. Oh, no, no.
No.
It wouldn't work well for me.
It's really not the alcohol. It's that summer Indiana sun.
Yeah, it's the heat. It's the heat that gets you.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Well, in the snake pit.
I'm dehydrated, I'm sure.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is that race weekend's a hard weekend to drink. I mean, you have to really prep because it's 3 straight days of getting blackout or damn near blackout drunk. It's like 3 straight days of blackout slash brownout, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And your time that you have to get up each day is earlier and earlier.
I'm sure.
Ugh.
So it's not for the faint of heart.
This is not for the faint of heart.
No,
I mean, I was so drunk. I was so drunk the year that I found out I got into nursing school. I got so fucking wasted the night before the race. It was the last year we sat in Tower Terrace. And it was so motherfucking hot. And we were just baking in the sun. And I was so hungover. And I was so tired because I got like an hour and a half of sleep.
Boy,
shocker. And I actually had to leave the race.
Oh, man. I would hate myself for that.
It ended up working out okay because I left. And as I started walking home, it started to rain. And so there was a rain delay. And so I got home. I got to take a nap. I woke back up as my dad was coming home because he was tired of waiting on the rain. But about that time, the rain was clearing up, and I was like, hey, want to drive me back over and drop me at the gate? So I only missed, like, 25 laps.
Not bad.
Oh, that's not bad.
Yeah, with the rain delay and everything, it worked out okay. But, yeah,
no,
I'm like, I was definitely so hungover, I actually had to leave the race 1 year. Yeah. I was like, I can't do it right now. And I felt, I was like, I don't want to leave. And I was like, but I have to.
Yeah.
It's like, if I stay here much longer, I might vomit.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the Indy 500 is my favorite day of the year. I will work on Christmas sooner than I will work on the Indy 500. I'm not missing it. I will
quit
my job.
Agree. I've quit 2 different jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Good for you. That you had your priorities in the right place.
Right? I'm like, I need this weekend off. We can't give it to you. I'm like, well, here's my 2 weeks then.
Yeah, well, it looks like I'm not going to be here, so.
Right, I'm like, you can either give me the time off, I can call in, or I can quit this job, but either way, I ain't fucking working that day.
Nope.
How it happens is up to you, but I will not be here.
Oh, yeah, I know. I've had people think I'm, like, kidding, and I'm like, no, and I will start a job, and they're like, do you have any days or any trips, and I'm like, I have to be off Memorial Day weekend. And they're like, oh, do you want to go on a trip? I'm like, no, I just need to watch Indy 500, and I will not be at work. I'm telling you this now in this interview. So they understand that. So when that comes, I will remind you about how I already told you about this. Mm-hmm. And you hired me anyway.
Yep.
Makes sense.
Oh, yeah.
Manage some expectations. I will not be here.
Nope.
No, I'm the same way.
Yeah.
Well, Molly and I both take off the week before the race. And, like, I don't do anything. I've missed so many people's, like, graduation parties, mm-hmm. bridal showers, weddings. And my mom always gives me grief because she's like, you could go. And I'm like, if I was on vacation in Florida, nobody would expect me to go. Just because I'm taking my vacation here doesn't mean that I should feel bad about not going to things. I'm on vacation.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, you have to rest for the coming weekend because it's going to be wild.
Exactly.
There's a lot of stuff to get ready for.
Got to get the house ready, all that.
Oh, my God.
So,
right, I'm sure. And when everybody's over at your house drinking and, yeah, it's like prepare to have no time to yourself or, like, no quiet, I'm sure.
Yeah.
No.
No quiet, and also you have to drunk-proof the house, which is worse than baby-proofing the house, because...
I'm sure.
Yeah. Drunks have a memory of times when they had coordination and good fine motor skills, but they don't actually have them, so...
It's dangerous. Right.
Yeah.
Well, it's... that sounds like the most fun. Just so you know, I am like a cornhole champ, so I will come to your mom's house and I will kick everybody's ass at cornhole.
Oh. So this is going to be fun.
I'm throwing down the gauntlet on that one.
Well, we welcome the competition. I am not good at cornhole, but I'll play occasionally.
I mean, if they need somebody.
Yeah.
I'll step in.
I'll step in, yeah.
It's not that great.
I think it's like a beer pong thing. Like, the drunker I get, the better I am at
it. I've definitely got a sweet spot, but I'm better at beer pong than at cornhole, but I'm still not very good at that either. I'll tell you what I'm really good at. Taking shots.
Flippy cup.
And I'm good at flippy cup, yes. Yeah, we will have a flippy cup men versus women as well.
Oh.
Yeah.
I've actually never played flip cup. Ooh. Did I go to college? Yes, I did, but I never played flip cup.
I don't even know how that's possible.
Was it not a Big Ten school?
Yeah, I mean, I got my degree in theater, so, like, parties were much more people singing show tunes and crying than
sure.
flip cup. Yeah, so, just kind of different genre of party.
Okay. Sure. Okay. Well, you're going to have to come out this year, so it's already done.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm super excited for that.
Awesome.
Yeah, we are super excited as well. Okay, so tell me, or tell us about your time in karting, and how that started, and how long you raced in karting and all that.
Yeah, okay, so I started racing when I was 8 years old.
Oh my.
In go-karts, circle track dirt racing. I was a very suggestible little kid, and there was... Okay, I'm fully aware of how ridiculous this is, but this is a true story. There was a Disney Channel original movie about two sisters that raced dragsters. Right on Track, I think is what it was called, Right on Track.
Okay.
And I watched it and I was obsessed. And I like, and that was when, you know, you recorded movies on VHS and then like rewind them and watch them over and over again.
Yeah.
So I recorded it and I would just... on constant replay, and I told my dad all I wanted to do was race dragsters. All I wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad's like, Jesus, kid, could you pick anything more expensive to want to do in the first place? And he knew nothing about dragsters, but my dad raced karts when we were younger. And actually, one of his claim to fame was that he beat Al Unser Sr. in a go-kart race once.
Wow.
And he's like, so I technically beat everyone else in IndyCar.
I think that counts.
By the laws of, yeah, transitory. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, that tracks for me. I buy it.
Yeah, it works.
Yeah. Yeah, so we went to the drag races one night, and the drag strip was right, like, up the hill from the go-kart track. And so we went, and we were there for a little bit, and my dad's like, let me show you something else. Like, I think, let me show you this. It's different, but it's... close to what you want to do. So we went down to the go-kart track, and they had classes all the way from, you could start racing in like cadet karts, they were called, when you're 5.
Hmm.
And they go like 15 miles an hour. It's the cutest freaking thing you've ever seen. It's really cute. So you can start at that age, and then they had classes all the way up to as old as you want to be. And
I bet that is the cutest thing ever, to see a bunch of 5-year-olds in karts.
I kind of want to... find one right now and watch it.
Yeah.
It is the sweetest thing in the entire world. I don't think I'll ever have a kid, but if I do, they are getting a little cadet cart.
Yeah, that's
so cute.
Yeah, definitely. Although I would have been the 5-year-old that was like ruining it for everybody. I would have been like I can't even tell you how many of my friends that they remember the first time that I got in trouble in school was for getting caught swearing, and it was a word that I taught them.
Oh yeah.
So I would have been like a 6-year-old that'd be like, you're an asshole.
Right. You blocked me, you dick, throwing a helmet.
Yeah. Yeah, I would have been that kid.
Yeah. So 8 years old wasn't too young to start out, but it's still pretty young.
Mm-hmm.
And so we went to the track that night, and my dad had friends there, and there was one other little girl there. And she let me take out her car, her little go-kart. For a few laps after they had, like, done the races for the night.
Wow.
And I think I did, like, 5 laps, and then I was like, oh, my God, I have to do this. And literally the next week, me and my dad were there with, like, a go-kart and a trailer and fire suit and everything. I mean, my dad, it was just, I think he was so stoked to have me do that because that's what he always loves to do.
Yeah.
So, yeah, within a week we were there.
That's awesome.
Racing. Yeah. So my first race, the main race, I was just so stoked to be going fast that I would not take my foot off the gas pedal. I just wouldn't. And so I kept spinning. I kept going into the corners and just spinning because I was just hauling ass. And that caught up with me. My first race, I go into the corner, and it was a banked dirt track. Mm. And I spin and go over the top of the track, and I rolled my go-kart, flew out of my go-kart. Oh, go-kart flies the other way. 8 years old.
Oh, my God.
And my dad was in the center. He would always watch the races from the infield. Yeah. And he would, like, clock the laps and stuff. Mm-hmm. And he just full ran through a live track go-kart just because he saw the bottom of my cart, you know, just starts running. Yeah. And it was a whole thing, and I'm on the ground, and I remember, like, hitting the ground, like, black, and then I remember, like, opening my eyes, and there were just people, just so many people around me, and, like, the ambulance, and they're like, what hurts, what hurts? And I'm like, my pinky, and I start crying. Yeah, so I, like, fractured my pinky.
Oh, my gosh.
Not a big deal. And all things considered, not
yeah.
bad.
Yeah.
So I learned a hard lesson that day that you can't just be full on the gas pedal all the time. You have to, like, you know, lift sometimes.
Yeah.
So that was kind of the beginning of karting for me. I raced go-karts until I was 17.
Mm-hmm.
So almost 10 years. I won a few championships. I won the IKF, which is the International Karting Federation Championship.
Wow.
For IKF, and then I won our club championship, Southwest championship, and driver of the year.
That's awesome.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Thanks. That was like an especially good year. I mean, yeah. I was 16, and we had our banquet, since I live in Albuquerque, at the Unser Racing Museum, because they have a racing museum here.
Mm-hmm.
And it just has all of their memorabilia, all their stuff. It's so cool. And we had our end of the year banquet there, and I got my driver of the year award from Alan Sir Senior.
Wow.
Which was amazing. Yeah. So cool.
That's pretty badass.
Yeah, and I have a picture of me, my dad, and Alan Sir Senior.
That's amazing.
Yeah, so cool. I mean, that's probably one of the coolest moments of my life. And I think I was like 16 and an asshole and I like didn't realize how cool it was. And then I look back on that now and I'm like, oh my God, that was so cool. Like, I was, like, so stupid when I was 16.
As we all are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So I did go-karts, and then I raced stock cars for 1 year, and it was the worst year of my life.
Oh, God.
I hated it.
Yeah.
I hate racing stock cars. I don't like closed-wheel racing. Mm-hmm. I think it's bullshit. I think you can just crash people indiscriminately and have no repercussions for it. And so when you're a rookie, they put an orange X on the back of your car.
Yeah.
Or an orange flag. I think you guys talked about that, how in IndyCar they have like an orange bar.
The rookie stripe.
For rookies.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, the rookie stripe. Yeah. So we have those on our cars too. And so I think I was like 15 when I was racing the stock car. And I had a big orange flag on the back of my car.
Yeah.
And I was the only woman, and I was 15 years old.
Oh,
and God. All the men I was racing were like 40 plus.
Wow.
And they just crashed the ever-living shit out of me every race. Ugh. I mean, it just straight up wouldn't turn in a corner and just hit the shit out of me. Mm. And my car was so bad. Me and my dad went to an AutoZone to pick up parts one day, and the guy comes out and he's like, oh, do you do demolition derby?
Oh my God.
Oh my gosh.
It was so bad. And I mean, my dad would put like a metal pipe through the car and just try to hit the dents out of it with the sledgehammer.
Yeah.
Because my car, it was trash. It looked awful. I finished, the highest finish I ever got in stock cars was second place. I finished backwards, being pushed by another car past the finish line.
Oh my God.
Wow.
Whoa.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, I was just like a big red target in the middle of the track, and they would just hit the crap out of me. And I hated it. I did it for a year. I was sponsored. Like, they were, like, paying me to drive their car, which was really awesome. So I did it for a year. But I did not do it after that year. And then I moved on to mini sprints.
Okay.
I did those for 2 or 3 years, and I won Rookie of the Year my rookie season. And I really liked mini sprints. They were a lot like go-karts, especially when you take the wing off of them.
Mm-hmm.
They were a lot like go-karts. So, you know, I really loved it. And then the tracks in town started to close down.
Yeah.
Just underfunded. And I went on to college and my dad opened a flower shop. And so neither of us really had time anymore. And so it just kind of stopped. But I mean, if you asked me when I was 10, I was convinced I was going to be an IndyCar driver when I grew up. I, like, have a nice signature, and it's because I literally practiced my signature because I thought I'd be giving people autographs one day.
That's amazing.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I was just convinced that was it. And, you know, that's okay. Like, I grew up a little bit, and I got my degree in something else, and I love musical theater, but I would immediately work for any IndyCar team. So if anybody's listening wants to hire me as an intern, I'll do it.
Well, you heard it here, people. Let's make this happen.
Yeah.
Right.
We're all looking for jobs in IndyCar. We are all available.
I mean, I need a little money.
Yeah, I mean, maybe pay me, but if you need to start not paying me, like, that'll work.
Yeah, we'll just all move in with my parents or your parents.
Yeah.
It's fine.
My mom travels a lot. We got extra bedrooms. It's a big house.
Right, yeah, I think that's a solid plan.
We're pet friendly.
Just hire me to do your PR. Just, I want to be the person that, like, writes the tweets when the drivers are in the car, because I'd be hilarious.
Right. I love when they have good people behind their social media.
It makes it for an interesting race.
Ed Carpenter's is always good.
Yeah.
His is always good, like his little PR person. And it was especially good during the Texas race.
Yes.
Copy wiener. Oh, my God.
Yeah, copy wiener. TK's being a real wiener. And he called it. He called it first before anything happened. So
He did. Don't mess with that.
Oh. Daddy doesn't play around.
He does not.
He's really cool. I've met Ed a few times, and he's awesome. I did, like, the IndyCar Nation thing for a couple years, and we go to the Texas race a lot because, A, I love ovals because that's what I raced.
And they're the greatest.
Yeah, they're the best.
And
it's fine.
You just can't beat it. The speed is amazing, just everything. The strategy is amazing. How close they are to each other is amazing. Mm-hmm. It's scary, but it's amazing. And I just, I love ovals. So me and my dad went to Texas a few times, and we did the IndyCar Nation thing, and we got rides on the pace car.
Oh, wow.
Around Texas Motor Speedway. It was so cool. We were going like 175 miles an hour. We're hauling ass.
Yeah.
It was cool. And then we got to take a picture in Victory Lane with the winner.
Yeah.
And I think we were just wandering around pit lane before the race, and we got Ed Carpenter's signature, and he was like, oh, where are you from? And I was like, Albuquerque. And he was like, oh, cool. And then he won the race, and we were in Victory Lane, and they just funnel people through to take those pictures.
Yeah.
And so we go, and I'm holding the IndyCar Nation sign, and I stand next to Ed, and he was like, hey, Albuquerque. And I was like, hey. And I was like, you're
wondering. Aw, that's awesome.
Yeah, so I like Ed. He's totally cool.
Yeah.
He's a good guy.
We're big Ed fans.
Yeah, he's your hometown hero, too, so.
He really is.
He really is, although he's leaving Speedway for somewhere else.
Oh.
I know.
Like, he's moving his shop out of Speedway?
He's moving his shop out of Speedway.
Yeah, it's staying in Indianapolis, but it's just not staying in Speedway.
I know.
Oh, okay. Well, this is staying in Indianapolis. I was like, that's stupid. Where are they moving it to?
I know. Right. Dang it, Ed, what are you doing?
Okay, it's like we can't get any closer than that.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you go to the Texas race, you said, a lot?
Yeah, I've been to the Texas race two times.
Mm-hmm.
We went to the Fontana race, the championship finale.
Yeah.
When Ryan Hunter Ray won. That was cool. And we got to do the Victory Lane picture with him, too.
Nice.
Andy Carnation. It's worth it. Pay the $35 if you plan on going to any race. You can get really cool perks that way.
Okay, nice. We've been talking about it.
Definitely worth it. And I think you just send in, if they, put an open call who's come to the race, and you just send in your, phone number or your email, and then they let you know, the things that you won.
Oh, nice. Cool.
Yeah, that's cool. So I went to that race, and then unfortunately the first race I ever went to was Las Vegas, which was awful.
Yeah.
It was totally awful. Yeah, me and my dad, I think I was 16, and we went to Vegas, and I was so excited, because it's crazy to finally see those things in person, the cars and the people, because you're watching it on TV, it's almost like watching a TV show,
yeah,
and then you realize, these people are real, and, my heroes are real, and, that was Danica Patrick's last race, and mm-hmm. when Dan Weldon died, and it was horrendous. It was awful.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Whew. So they should have never been there in Las Vegas, but you know.
I know.
I don't make those calls, so.
Yet.
And that's the danger with oval racing. I mean, I get it. I get why people think it's crazy, because it is crazy, but it's great racing, so.
I know.
It is.
It's kind of hard to both love it and realize it's probably, ovals are much more dangerous than road courses.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
My goodness.
So, but those are the races I've been to, so. I've seen some cool ones. I've seen a lot of races that Ed Carpenter's won, which is funny.
Because
he always wins on freaking ovals. He always wins ovals, and I go to the ovals. So. You know.
Daddy only does ovals, like can we say?
Yeah, Daddy only does ovals.
Now, I know besides Ed, you're a big New Garden fan, right?
Yes, I am. And I would like to say I'm not a bandwagon or New Garden fan. I am a New Garden fan since he was doing Joseph New Garden incognito videos. If you've never seen them, look them up on YouTube. They are hilarious.
Okay.
It's him. He was on Sarah Fisher's team.
Yeah.
And he would go around as him, just out, not in his fire suit. And he would go up to people and be like, who's your favorite driver? Like, people just around the track. And they'd be like, everybody would always say Dario Franchitti. Yeah. And he was like, oh, what about this Joseph Newgarden kid? Have you ever heard of them? And they're like, no, none of them.
Sorry.
he would show them his hero card. And he'd be like, this is him. He's a good-looking young kid, successful, came out of Maserati to Indy. What do you think? Is there anything you notice about this card? And they're, like, looking right at a picture of him and then looking at him, and they're like, no. They don't realize it's him. It's so funny. And I think he did, like, 4 or 5 of them.
Okay.
And I found those online one day, and I was just a huge fan of him ever since I saw those. It was, like, his first season, second or first season.
Oh, cool.
And so I've been his fan since then. And, like, I'm not a big Team Penske person. I really root for, like, the underdog teams. Mm-hmm. So I was, like, excited for him when he got put on Penske, because obviously you can't have a better ride than Penske.
Right.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I was like, oh man, like, it's like watching your favorite band that wasn't popular become popular. And you're like, wait, I was a fan of that band for, you know, it's like that kind of thing.
Oh.
Yeah. So, Joe New, he's my boy. I always root for him to win. And he always wins when I can't watch the races.
Oh.
If I'm at work or whatever, I know he's going to win. I know he's going to win if I can't watch. So. I can help you out next year with your points that you do.
Okay.
And I'll just tell you when I can't watch the race. And then just pick Joseph to win, because it literally every time.
Okay.
There we go.
This is good. This is good. This is good for us.
That works.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So, love Joseph. I started, this is embarrassing, and I know you're going to give me so much crap for it. My first, like, I was a big fan of Marco.
I understand. We all make mistakes, okay?
Yeah, but you know, it was his first couple seasons, and his first couple seasons
he was really good. He was good. Those.
Well.
Yeah.
He was, yeah.
It's easy to root for an Andretti, you know?
That's true.
Andretti's, and he was a young kid, and he was on a team then with TK and Danica, so that was my team. I loved Andretti Green at the time.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. It was a good team then. I mean,
but he's let me down.
He let me down.
Yeah. I had to move on. So that's why I was like, I kind of need a new favorite driver. And then Joseph Newgarden came. And I was like, yeah, that's him.
You're like, yep, this is meant to be.
This is it. This is the one. Yeah. The one.
Yeah. I mean, I will say I would love to see Marco win an Indy 500. I would really love to see it, just because, you know, the whole Andretti curse. And
I understand that.
Something, you know. I don't think he does well at Indy.
He doesn't do that.
He did well his very first year at Indy.
And then he shit the bed the last 3 laps.
But
I mean, it's like rookie pressure. I would freak out, too.
I know.
Like, you're 19 years old, three laps away from winning the 8500.
Yeah.
I just don't want to crash or slow down, and then Sam Hornish just comes out of nowhere.
Right.
You gotta watch Sam.
Yeah, well, I feel like in the years since then, he just shits the bed, period. Not even the last couple laps. He just shits the bed, period, on the Indy 500. In fact, my brother-in-law made a side bet with me that I would have won, except for that last goddamn wreck this year. We made a $10 bet that John said he bet $10 that Marco was going to finish in the top 10, and I said no, he wasn't. And he was not in the top 10 until there was a wreck and it took drivers out. And so by technicality, I lost. God damn it.
But. Yeah, I mean, I think he was, like, my first like, big, like, IndyCar love or whatever, you know? And
yeah,
so
yeah, makes sense.
There's a little bit, little part of me always wants him to do well, but he just, like, continually proves me wrong.
Right.
I know. I wish he wouldn't do that.
I know. It happens. There's drivers out there.
Yeah. That's how I am. Yeah, I started to feel like that with Danica in her last couple years in IndyCar. I was like, you were making it really fucking hard for me to still be a fan. Like,
I
was like, I was really about it your first year. Like, I was gung-ho. Second year, third year. And then I'm like, okay. A couple years later, it's like, okay. You're really pushing the bounds of what I can commit to here.
Yeah, I know. I loved Danica, too. I mean, my race cars, we would do the paint scheme. Do you remember, like, the Argent paint scheme on our car?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We literally duplicated her paint scheme and put it on my car. I love
Danica.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I was a big Danica fan.
Well, because she was super fast.
Come on, like, don't make it hard for me to like you. I like you. I want to like you. Like,
yeah.
Don't be problematic, please.
Well, especially because she was just so fast. Sarah Fisher was fast and very competitive, but she never did that great at the Indy 500, and Danica came in and just fucking smoked it in quals and smoked it in the race. It's like, we never had a woman come in and just fucking dominate that much of the field.
Yeah.
Right.
And it was exciting.
There's something to be said about that, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was exciting, and I was like, fucking, all right, we're gonna have a badass come in.
Yeah. And it's exciting to see, I mean, like, as a young female racer, it's exciting to see that like another woman is doing well. You know, it's exciting. It gives you something to look up to. Like, I want to be Sarah Fisher. I want to be Danica Patrick. I want to be Pizzamatt. You know, like.
Absolutely.
It's really important to have females.
That you can look up to. And
that you can look up to, yeah.
And for motivation. And
some kind of separate racing series.
bullshit fuckery.
So fucking ridiculous. I can't. Every time it makes me mad. It makes sense.
I start getting ranty.
Oh, yeah, I know. I'm like, if you want me to get up on a soapbox, I'm sure I've already done that for like the last 45 minutes. But, I can talk about that.
Yeah. No,
just
that,
ridiculous.
Well, and, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't even have to get into that.
No.
We could go on about that ad nauseum.
Right. Oh, this is a 3-hour episode. Sorry, guys.
Sorry, Mom.
Sorry, not sorry. Well, I don't know if you know this, but Sarah Fisher and her husband have a restaurant and an indoor karting place on Main Street and Speedway.
I knew about the indoor karting. I didn't know about the restaurant. I definitely want to do the indoor karting.
I mean, obviously.
We should go.
Yeah, yes, we definitely should go. We have to kart before we do any drinking, though. They won't let you card after you've been served.
I think that makes sense.
But their restaurant is called the 1911 Grill, and they serve like bar food and stuff.
Oh, cool.
So, and beer.
We'll have to
do
that.
See, here's the plan. I'll go out there, don't tell any of your family members that I used to race.
No.
And then I will bet money that I will kick all their asses.
Okay.
Yes. And then we'll just rake it in. And then we'll split it evenly between the three of us.
Okay.
That's what we'll do.
More money for alcohol.
Yeah,
is what I heard.
I mean, I'll get it.
I know.
Yeah.
I always joke with my friends. I'm like, on my birthday, I'm like, we're going karting so I can kick everybody's ass. It's like the one time of the year that I can kick everybody's ass at one thing.
Right?
And that is when we go indoor karting, so.
See, that's why I like to do karaoke on my birthday, because I'm like, I can perform better than all of you, so let's celebrate that. It's my birthday.
It's my birthday.
Yeah, I love karaoke, too. We can do karaoke. I'm a musical theater major, so that
is
this is happening. This is.
Yeah.
When can you come out?
Right, I know. I'm like, I'll just do it this weekend, guys.
That's fine. That's fine.
That's cool.
And just come out for the whole week. It's
we're going shopping this weekend at the track, so.
It's fine.
They're having their big sale, so you can join us on Saturday.
Yeah, it's fine. It's fine. It's fine.
Oh, yeah, I'll just do it. I'll start driving now. Jesus, that would take so long. No, thank you.
Probably too long. Probably
not
too
so much.
Yeah.
All right, well, what, let's see. What do you, well, before we get into what you want to see in the 2018 season, we're going to start asking everybody that we have on the show, like, the same random question.
Sure.
So tell us about your most awkward first date.
Oh, man.
Or the or like the most awkward thing somebody told you on a first date, or the most awkward thing somebody asked you on a first date.
Oh, God, I'm like not a good dater. My anxiety's something. I'm like a serial monogamer, so I do the thing where I just immediately start a relationship with somebody.
Sure.
For 2 or 3 years at a time, so it's like dating never even happened.
Gotcha.
I think when I was like 13, no, I was younger than that. It was like my first date, like 12 or 13, and there was a boy from the racetrack, and we went on a date. Like, we went to go see Fast and Furious Tokyo Drift.
Naturally.
Naturally.
Cringe. Anyway, I think that...
I went to see that movie on a date as well.
It's not good. I think that could be just the end of the story. I went to see Tokyo Drift on a date when I was 13.
Oh, with a boy from a racetrack?
I think, like, he kissed me, and then I, like, opened my eyes, and he was watching the TV. He was watching the TV screen. I was like, this is, like, the shittiest movie of all time. You were kissing a girl right now, and you were watching Tokyo Drift. Are you shitting me?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and so I, like, knew from then on, this man is going to let you down. That just is going to happen.
Perfect.
Just know that.
Just accept it.
Just let it happen. Just let it happen.
Yeah. So I think that's it. I think that would probably be it, which luckily that was a while ago.
Yeah.
So. Oh, that's fine. Yeah. Yeah, I also, I don't even remember who I was on a date with when I saw that movie, but that was the last time we saw each other.
Yep.
Fast and Furious, separating people all over the place.
Awful.
Ugh, not good. No. I hated the Fast and Furious. And people expected me to love them, which I think is why I hated them so much. Mm,
yeah.
Because people were like, oh, you race cars, you probably love Fast and Furious. I was like, no, those two things did not, no.
You're like, they are not even close to being the same thing.
No.
No. I will tell you, I loved Baby Driver.
I keep meaning
Baby
to watch
Driver's
it.
Really good.
Is it? Okay. I keep meaning to watch
yes.
it.
I haven't seen that yet.
It's. I think you'll enjoy it.
Yeah. I really liked it, and I, like, went and saw it on a whim. Like, it's not like I was, like, invested in seeing it, and I kind of thought it was going to be, like, a Fast and Furious thing, but it's great. Okay. Ansel Elgort is great. He's swinging around that Subaru. Yes, God, to that. and it's all practical shooting, so, like, he's driving.
Oh, wow.
Like, that whole time, so everything they're doing, none of it's CGI. It's all practical shooting.
Oh, cool.
Wow.
Well, like, there's CGI in it, but he's actually driving the car, like, so... Really cool, and the soundtrack was really cool. Yeah, I suggest seeing that.
Okay, I'm gonna make this happen.
Yeah,
yeah, I'm putting it down, writing it down.
Well, what do you want to see in the 2018 season? What are you most looking forward to?
I am looking forward, because he's my boy, I'm looking forward to seeing how Joseph, you know, handles being the reigning champ coming back into a season. Not that I think he's gonna like suddenly start shitting the bed. I don't think that at all. I just want to see him be a great face for the sport, because I think that's what the sport needs right now. So I'm excited to see what's up with Joseph. I'm excited to see what's up with Team Canada.
Yeah.
I think they're gonna be hilarious. James Hinchcliffe, love him.
Yeah.
So great. I saw him in pit lane once, and I told him, hey, nice socks. He said, hey, thanks.
So Canadian.
So Canadian.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks.
That was like my little interaction with James Hinchcliffe.
He's the nicest guy. He was not even offended when I yelled at him from an escalator. Because I later apologized I was like, I'm really sorry I yelled at you earlier. I was like, I was just really excited. I was like, me and my best friend love you, and I was just really excited, and so I'm sorry if that was rude. And he was like, oh, no, you're fine. And then I was like, can we take
a thing to someone else? So, like, if any of the drivers to yell out of an escalator to somebody, I think it's James Hinchcliffe.
That's
right?
Crazy.
Like, I literally, like, he was going up, and we were riding down, and I was like, James Hinchcliffe, I love you. I was like, I scuba dive, too. Nice beard. Like, it was just straight, like, stream of consciousness. Like, my brain was like, just say things.
Just all you could say, yeah.
Right? Like, just any kind of, like, yeah, a random association. It was like, my brain was like, yell at James Hinchcliffe, and then just anything that the mind links to that, yell that out to.
Oh, yeah.
I love you.
I'm surprised you just didn't yell out Canada.
Right? Canada!
Canada! Oh, man. I mean, I met Joseph and I didn't, like, you know, you have all these things that you think you're going to say or whatever. And I was just like, oh, my God, he's really tall. I wasn't expecting that.
Yeah.
And then also I was just like, you're my favorite driver. And he was like, thanks. And that was just like our one little interaction. But I will say what also is really cool, which is why I really appreciate him. I bet you this is going to stop happening because he's probably going to get flooded with people now. All the other drivers ride those little mopeds around. And he was the only driver that would walk. And he would stop for everybody and give autographs. And he wouldn't be on a moped. And I really appreciate that. That's the kind of thing I think is, you know, to what the sport needs.
Yeah, definitely.
So excited for Joseph, seeing Canada.
Yeah.
I mean, but the things I would like to see for this season are things that aren't going to happen because the schedule's already out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I passionately think that the championship race needs to not be at Sonoma.
Yeah.
It's just not, it's not interesting. It's not interesting enough. Mm. Every year it's kind of the same thing. It's like single file racing, and one person kind of goes ahead, and it's usually the person at the championship. I haven't seen an exciting championship finale since Fontana when I was there, and that was a crazy, I mean, it was Ryan Hunter-Reay and Will Power crashed, and then Ryan Hunter-Reay had to finish in a certain position to beat Will Power, even though he's already crashed out, and it was just, it was so exciting. I mean, the last three laps, everybody was biting their nails, just, you know, what's going to happen. And I think that's, like, I think that's what the championship needs. And I frankly really feel that way about after the Indy 500. Mm-hmm. I have no fucking clue in the world why we go from the Indy 500 with millions of viewers, finally pick up some viewers who might keep watching, and then we go do a duel in Detroit that is the most fucking boring race of the year. And it's like anybody that you picked up from the Indy 500, especially this year with Fernando Alonso being there, and picking up F1 people and people who would not normally be watching, and then, you know, it's just like, why don't we go from the Indy 500 to freaking Texas?
Oh,
you know,
my
like,
God.
Really reel them in and be like, this is what we do here. We do speed, we do crazy racing, we are so close to each other, precision driving, that's what we do. And instead, they just lose momentum, and I just think it's bad for the series. And I've seen other people write on that, too. I've seen Paul Tracy say the same thing, and I just don't understand why, if fans are saying it, and it seems so obvious why IndyCar isn't doing it.
Yeah.
You know, and it's, like, I understand it's because they do a month of testing and rigorous driving, and it would be, I'm sure it would be really freaking tiring to then go to Texas, but it's like, they give them a week, an extra week.
Yeah.
I'd rather wait an extra week for a race.
And have it be a good race, then immediately have a shitty one.
Yeah.
Right, and it's just, you know, that's, it's just a bummer every year, because it's everything's so exciting, and, you know, you have, like, the Indy 500 hangover, where, like, it's just, you're just, like, depressed the day after, and you're just so excited for the next race to see, you know, them talk about the new champion or whatever, and then,
it's Detroit,
boring.
Yeah.
Yeah. And well, it's like anytime you see a New Year's Eve party in a movie and you're like, that's what I want my New Year's Eve to be. And then you actually have your New Year's Eve and it never is like that.
Yeah.
And you're like, this is so stupid. And I'm in a place that's so crowded, I can't even get a damn drink.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And everything's expensive as hell. You pay $15 to get in.
Yeah,
so, I mean, the things that I would like to see going forward are those things.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not going to happen this year. I hope that they, you know, I don't know. I just really hope something changes. I think ovals are exciting. I think that's what, I think they should be adding more. They've taken them away over the years, and I've always been against that.
Yeah.
And there's some people who, I mean, love street road course racing, IndyCar, and I'm not saying that I hate it. I'm just saying it's not as exciting, and I can stick through a whole season because I'm invested with the drivers and the storylines and whatever, but if you're trying to get into it and you watch Indy 500 and you're so, like, everything's this big spectacle, and then duel in Detroit and the person who wins the pole wins the race and that's just it, you know, it's just not exciting.
Yeah, no, we agree with you.
Yeah, 100%.
We love the ovals. I mean, we have grown to appreciate the road course and street course more.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's like your excitement, your...
It's just, I don't know.
It's your ovals. It's your super speedways.
Yeah.
It just is. And I understand, like, the last time there was at Fontana was, I mean, it was too much. It was too crazy.
Yeah.
And it was too Las Vegas is what it was. Mm. And, you know, Will Power got out of the car and he said the right thing. They put the camera in his face and they're like, what did you think of the race? And he's like, there's like freaking 200 people here. And like, all of us just put our lives on the line. Like, what are we doing this for?
Yeah.
And I understand that. I understand that frustration, especially from drivers that have kids, you know, when Scott Dixon, that wreck at Indy last year, that would have been awful. That would have been the worst. It's like,
you could hear a pin drop in the stands.
Oh my God, it was insane.
It was like every person there gasped at the same time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, and the truth is I haven't seen as bad of a wreck like that since Dan Weldon's crash. And
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's incredible to see Scott Dixon just get out of the car and freaking do an interview 2 minutes later and be like, yeah, I don't know. Like, you know, because he's the Iceman and that's just...
Right, that's just how he rolls.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, he's just there's just no beating Scott Dixon. I mean, Scott Dixon is just, like, he's the class of the field, and he's going to be until he retires. And I like in a Dario Franchitti sense, you know, and I don't know, like, I understand the frustration there, and I think that's why Fontana kind of stopped, and Fontana only wanted to have the race there if it was for the championship, because then people would actually come sit in the stands. It's like there has to be a more successful way to do that. Take some downforce out of the cars. Hopefully, the Universal Aero kit.
Yeah.
Helps. I'm excited to see what happens with that. I don't know. Hopefully, the Universal Aero kits allows for more racing that's not just pack racing.
Yeah, that's my hope.
Yeah, because pack racing is exciting, but even then, it's exciting. Even the drivers are like, I'm not driving the car. The car's kind of driving me.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of takes the sportsmanship out of it. So I'm excited to see that kind of thing. And I hope in 2020, we can just figure out the schedule a little bit better.
Yeah.
Make some better choices.
Yeah.
Or, like, it doesn't even have to be Texas if they put Road America right after.
Mm-hmm.
The Indy 500, you know, or, like, St. Pete, or just some...
Or Bomarito, since it's so close.
Yeah.
Right, the Bomarito would be awesome. You know, it's... I don't... Yeah.
That wouldn't be bad.
I just think that can be done better. But.
Yeah. No, I think that's a great idea. I like
it.
IndyCar, please pay attention. And if you're hiring...
We're all available.
We're all available. Okay. I don't know how more we can say this.
Any or all of us.
Yes.
Happy and willing.
I mean, I will literally pack all my shit and just move to India.
Right. You're like, I will leave right now.
I will go.
I will get in this fucking car.
Right. I'm like, bye.
Yep. See ya.
Yep. So, and I'm excited for Zach Veach, too. And I know everybody makes fun of him. I know.
No, but here's the deal. Did you hear him on the 1070 interview?
I did.
He's so excited about it.
He's so excited.
He's so genuine and giddy, and I love that. I love his excitement.
Yes.
Because... Right. I feel like that's how I would be if I was him. Like, I would not be able to contain myself.
Yeah.
I actually, I dated a guy for a couple of years who used to make fun of me and say that I got Christmas morning excited about everything. I mean, not like make fun of me in a bad way, but like, he would always tease me because I'd be like, I'm so excited for da-da-da. And he's like, you get Christmas morning excited for everything. And I was like, I can't help that I'm passionate about life.
No, that's a good thing.
Right? And so I'm like, yeah, I get Christmas morning excited, like, when I forget that I drunkenly ordered a shirt I wanted and it arrived. So, yeah, like, if I had a ride like that, I'd be so giddy.
Yeah.
Like, you could hardly stop me from skipping around from place to place.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be able to walk normally.
I appreciate it.
Right? I love it. I love that he's that excited and that he's not, like, you know, putting on that, you know, Scott Dixon face of, like, Iceman and, like, everything's cool. Like, that he's... excited and giddy and that you can see it.
I think he's going to be fun to watch. I definitely think he's going to be fun to watch.
I love that honesty.
Yeah.
You know, and he doesn't do like the Sage Karam thing. You know, it's like...
He wears shirts.
Yeah.
Yeah, he wears shirts, yes. Shirts for Sage.
Shirts for Sage.
But like, Sage just kind of acts like, I belong here, I deserve to be here, which, you know, there's something to be said about that too. There's something to be said about that confidence. But
that's true.
At the same time, be like a little humble or like excited. And I feel like Zach has that. Like, I think he's like, I worked really fucking hard to be here, but I'm so excited to be here and I'm honored to be here. And that's what I like. I like that. I appreciate that. And,
yeah.
You know, and even a couple years ago, because I was following him up to Indy Lights and he was with Andretti Autosport at least for 1 year. I think he did all of his years, but I'm not sure. Don't quote me on that.
No. Okay. It sounds right. Sounds good.
Yeah, sounds good to us.
Yeah, sounds right.
I mean, we just make shit up on this show half the time, so you're fine.
Yeah, that's fine.
We just make up facts.
Yeah, that sounds fair.
I actually was telling somebody, I'm interrupting your story again.
No, you're fine.
But I was telling somebody at work about this, because I started a newer job a month and a half ago, and so I was telling a few people about my podcast, and they were like, so what do you guys talk about? And I was like, well, the IndyCar season, and, you know, I was like, we talk about a whole bunch of different things, whatever, da-da-da. And she was like, so now the season's not going on. Like, what do you talk about? And I was like, I don't know. I mean, sometimes we just make shit up. And she was like, seriously? And I was like, yeah.
Yeah.
She was like, I don't understand how that works. And I was like, just listen to a couple episodes. You'll figure it out. She was like, or she's like, you just make shit up. And I was like, yeah, I'm being totally serious. Like,
I think that's like half a life is just kind of making shit up.
I think you know what you're talking about.
Yeah. 50% is showing up. 50% is just making shit up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's how I got my college degree.
Yeah.
I just showed up and, hoped for the best.
That sounds about right. Yeah, I think that's what happened with mine.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, that sounds right.
So Indy Lights.
Exactly. So, I think Andretti Autosport, posted an article on him, and he was still in high school at the time, and, you know, he's, a small-framed guy. He's just, a petite guy.
Yes.
He talked about being bullied in high school, really, mercilessly bullied. Mm. And then he went on and did this campaign, an anti-bullying campaign, once he had raced in the Indy 500. And it was just so cool. It's I love, spokesmen for those kind of things. I can really see, I can get where he's coming from. And, you know, being a woman at the racetrack wasn't fucking easy most of the time. And, you know, I got made fun of a lot. And all the friends that I made, their dads would be like, don't, you better not lose to the girl. And, you know, I can understand that kind of bullying or that feeling misplaced or out of place. And so I just really like that speech because I think, you know, he didn't just
back down.
There was stunningly good looks or big muscles. And I just really appreciate that. So.
He had to have that perseverance to continue and do what he wanted to do in the face of getting made fun of and
right, because he doesn't look like the typical IndyCar driver.
No, he doesn't.
And that's not to say that he isn't fit or doesn't have the right body type to be in a car, whatever that means. You know,
I think he has the ideal body type because he's so petite and
right.
I mean, honestly, he can't weigh very much.
He doesn't. I think he weighs a buck 20.
Yeah, soaking wet.
Right.
Although he's been,
there's no way.
He's been bulking up, apparently, so...
I'm sure I could still lift him up over my head. Easily.
Probably. I could probably pick him up and throw him.
We're going to see him at St. Pete and be like, damn! You've been working out, bro? Let's go!
I think that's how you get kicked out of the Indy 500. You try to pick up Zach
Beach. Picking up Zach Beach.
Having a contest on who can throw him the farthest. Yeah.
That
Add
probably would...
list of things that will get you arrested.
That's going on the arrest list.
Oh, okay.
In front of a cop.
Okay. I can talk my way out of it, I'm sure.
Yeah, so I think those are the main things. I mean, it took me a while to get to the Universal Aero Kits, which I don't know why that wasn't the first thing I said.
That's okay. You had great things too, don't worry about it.
Oh, okay, good. That really big thing is happening.
So, very cool. Well, thank you so much for talking to us.
Yeah, of course. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely.
We're going to have to do this during the season every now and then.
Yeah, we will.
Please? Yeah, I would love to, let's just do, a little driver analyst thing every once in a while.
Basically, yes. That's what we need.
Yeah,
absolutely. So, and we'll be so excited to have you for the Indy 500. So, make sure that you come in early enough to go to Carb Day on Friday.
Yes, absolutely. I think I have... I actually have a free round-trip flight with Southwest, so I'm going to use it for the Indy 500 because it will cost so much fucking money to fly to Indianapolis during Memorial Day weekend.
It does cost a lot, yes.
Oh, nice. Man. I'm sure it's bad.
Oh,
I mean, I went once and it was pretty expensive, but
yeah.
It doesn't matter because I would go anyway. But I'm excited. to be out there.
Awesome. Well, awesome. Yeah, just come on out. And you will probably have to take an Uber or a cab from the airport because typically we don't make any airport runs that week.
We might make an exception.
But once you get to the house, everything else will be taken care of. We will drive awesome. You anywhere you want to go.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Thank you, ladies. You guys are awesome. I'm so glad I found your podcast.
Oh, we are too.
Aww. Oh, I feel all warm and fuzzy. Yeah. Hey, where can do you want to plug your social media or anything while you're still here?
Yeah.
All right.
My Twitter handle is JulianaMyers20. 20 was my racing number.
Oh, cool.
Just like Ed.
Just like Ed.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Awesome.
Yeah. So that's my Twitter handle. More IndyCar stuff gets posted there during the season. I like to think I live tweet races pretty well. Every once in a while, I have a good little hot take.
They were pretty good this season. So I say follow her. So
yeah.
So thank you for coming on. It has been amazing, and we cannot wait to start 2018 with you.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, ladies.
All right. Well, we hope you guys had as much fun listening to Juliana as we did. You'll definitely hear from her again as it leads up to the Indy 500 season, especially since she's going to come and party with us. So
it's going
to
be insane.
It's going to be insane. And if there's anybody else that listens to us that wants to meet up with us on Carb Day or anything like that, just set us up on social media.
Yeah.
I know we got some time to plan, but we're going to be going to St. Pete. And obviously we always do stuff for Indy. So,
I mean, the whole month of May is
busy. The whole month of May. And we love meeting new people and having a good time at the track. So,
yeah. Well, I think there's just one more thing left to do.
Shit, we didn't make up.
So, speaking of the Indianapolis 500. Speak of the devil and it shall appear. So, in 1911, very big year indeed, Ray Horan's Mormon Wasp had a rearview mirror on it.
It did indeed.
It's the earliest known incident of a rearview mirror.
That is true.
And beforehand, it was a two-man operation, which is probably when we probably would have been pretty good racers. Both of us in a car, unstoppable.
Mm-hmm.
There's the driver, and then there's the mechanic, whose job was basically to look behind and tell you what was going on.
Yep. Now, Ray Harun did still have a riding mechanic.
He didn't.
He did not?
Mm-mm.
I don't know.
Not in this one. Because it was more aerodynamic.
Gotcha. Because I know a lot of the drivers still had a mechanic.
They had a mechanic, but I don't think he had one in this.
In the Mormon Wasp?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's kind of cool.
That is pretty cool.
Yeah. Fun fact, though, it actually didn't work.
The rearview mirror?
No. Because you're on bricks. Think about when you're driving in your car.
And it's all bouncy.
And you're on, like, rough pavement. Yeah, that's what happened.
Makes sense.
Yeah. So, anyway...
But it was a good idea.
It later was patented by somebody else who's not Ray. It was Elmer Berger in 1921. And, of course, he did some more fine-tuning. It wasn't just, like, a little thing.
Yeah.
And you can see it on the car. It's kind of cool to look. I looked it up, and I was staring at the little picture of it. I was like, look at that.
Right?
Just put a little bad boy on there.
Just stuck a little mirror on. Just another way that racing makes its way into our daily drivers.
It's helping you stay safe.
That's awesome.
I think we gotta wave a white flag.
I think so. All right. White flag for you. What are you thinking?
I'm just super excited about seeing Lights at the Brickyard.
Yeah.
And as we discussed as a family, because if you buy it, since it's coming out Friday, so heads up, buy your pass today. You're listening to this on Friday. Listen all the way. Well, you've already listened to us. We're done. Go log on and buy your pass. You can buy it now and use it whenever.
Mm-hmm.
Prices go up after today.
All right. So you can still use it later on, but you want to buy it now before prices go up.
We were doing a head count in my family about how many times, and we're probably going to be going like two or three times after Lutheran Lights. So basically what's going to happen is I'll be able to narrate and repeat along with the radio.
Yeah. You need like a bronze badge situation for the Christmas lights.
I kind of, you
need a red and green badge.
Oh my god, that'd be the greatest.
Right, so that you can just unlimited access in and out anytime you want.
That would be fine. I'd be okay with it.
You need a fast pass, a pit pass for the lights.
Pit pass for the fast pass.
Yep.
Yeah, so I'm excited because you know I love Christmas lights.
Oh, yeah.
And it'll be Thanksgiving, so it's really, like, the Christmas season starts for my family, my mom's birthday,
but like it really kicks in after Thanksgiving.
Now, what was your favorite light display from last year that you hope to see again this year?
So there were two.
Okay. And I have two as well.
Okay. And Dad, don't listen because I don't want you to be ruined. The Abominable Snowman.
Okay.
Oh, I have three. But one is like, duh. So the Abominable Snowman.
Sure.
And then the one where the little reindeer were kind of being shot out of a cannon and would parachute down.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But and then the third one, Avi, the wings, wheels, and Avi.
Yeah.
So, yep. What about you?
Well, obviously, the wings, yeah. Wheel, and flags. This is Indianapolis Motor Speedway.
Yeah.
Yep, that was super cool. And then my other one was, like, it was somewhere in the road course, but it was like we were going through a bridge of lights.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And I had seen that last year on their Snapchat, and so I was excited about it.
I think it's happening this year.
I'm pretty sure I saw it.
I'm trying not to look at what's going on, because yeah. I remember it, but I don't...
Oh no, I definitely looked. You know I don't. I hate surprises, so I looked. It takes nothing away from me.
I know.
But yeah, I think that was one of my favorites, other than you know, Avi the logo.
Right.
But yeah, just because I love Christmas lights and I have like two sides of my personality. Like on the one hand, I like the clean. Like I'll have a tree. When I used to live on my own, I would have two trees. I had one that was like all red and silver, right. White lights, very classy
very
looking,
themed.
All of my ornaments were red and silver. Everything, you know, just it was like the hall, you know, like your mall
wasp?
Display.
It was
yeah,
a wasp tree.
It was a wasp
very
tree.
Waspy.
And then I have another one that I would call my Dr. Seuss tree because it was colored lights, none of the ornaments went together. It was just random shit that I liked and found. And if it was sparkly or shimmery or whatever,
it went on there,
the better. And so, yeah. And like gaudy and just ridiculous. And so, yeah, that bridge of lights, it was like just so much Christmas light that I was like, ah, I love it.
Awesome. What's your white flag?
I'm very excited for Liquor and Lights.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to go ahead and announce it now.
You are?
I am.
What if it doesn't happen? I don't want you to jinx us.
I don't think I'm going to jinx us.
I feel like you might jinx us. All right.
Okay. Well, then I won't say any names, but I will say.
How about that? Yeah.
You'll want to stay tuned to our social media for this coming week because we... are working on a very big, very important interview. And, what?
I'm just imagining what people are thinking.
Well, I just feel like I sound like Donald Trump right now. It's going to be huge. It's going to be great. It's going to be the best. It's the best interview.
I mean, I have to tell people, it's Long's Bakery.
It's Long's Bakery. No. God, I wish. Although, I'll tell you what, I replied back to that, and I really am not above contacting somebody at Long's. Yeah, we got followed by Long's Bakery today, so we have officially arrived.
I mean, that might be the biggest moment for either one of us.
I mean, honest to God, we got followed by Doug Bowles. That was a pretty big day.
That was.
But followed by Long's Bakery, the best donuts in the state of Indiana.
I feel like sorry, Doug, but it was a bit better.
Yeah.
You know who doesn't come with delicious donuts? Doug doesn't.
Sometimes he does.
That's okay, but Long's always.
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 Long's. Mm. So
anyway.
Yeah. Anyways, shout out Long's. But yeah, so my white flag, I'm very excited. We've got an exciting interview next week, so we will start advertising for that ASAFP and get some stuff out on social media.
I'm the wet blanket because I'm superstitious.
Yeah. It's you.
It's me.
Yep. No, I don't believe in any of that business. So.
All right, fine.
I mean, it's okay. I'm fine with keeping it a surprise for a little bit.
Okay.
But it'll be a good time. So definitely stay tuned. We're gonna have some great memes. We're gonna have some good clips. We're gonna have some good video from that. We're gonna get wild.
Wow, she's making me do a lot of work, guys.
Yeah.
I mean,
I can assist, but yeah.
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 So I think that's my white flag. I'm giddy to kick off the Christmas season. So yeah.
All right. Well, I think checkered flag.
I think let's wave that checkered flag. Thanks for listening, everybody.